Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Open your Bibles with me over to Romans. I've opened up here the first chapter. Maybe we'll read a little here. Probably the complete chapter, if the Lord allows us to maybe say something, to offer some insight, to enlighten possibly, or to consider, or to change, not the word or to make us think differently, but maybe to really perceive what the Spirit of God has put down and taken time to put in a written form for us to live by and to grow by and to exercise in our daily lives. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gifts, to the end you may be established. I'm going to read verse 11 again, but we're going to go on and read. But I just want you to think about that. It says, for I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift. And you could think about what took place in the book of Acts and where they laid hands on them and they received a spiritual gift, didn't they? It was imparted and given forth, the Holy Ghost there. But it goes even farther than that. But I just thought it'd make me something for you to think about. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I proposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as is in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein it is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. How do they live? By faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who had the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing himself to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beast and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this God gave them up into vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned into their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving to themselves the recompense of their error, which was meat. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to those things which are not convenient, filled with unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. We know in the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. That's right there, that last part of verse 32. We'll deal with pornography. You may not see that, but that's what it deals with. And people that have pleasure, they may not be in these active, wretched, perverted lifestyles, but they have pleasure in those things, and they're going to receive the same rewards. Brothers and sisters, we need to be careful what we see and what we look at. God help us. Amen. Go back to verse 25 for a moment. And it says, "And who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." I don't know what that passage of Scripture means to you when you read it. You know, your thoughts might go in different places. And, you know, I could say, well, thus, us, and us, or this and that, and it could be disputed and things. And a lot of times we look into things in different perspectives. Sometimes we look at things from a first or second or third dimension, or from a natural, physical, or spiritual aspect of thought. There are spiritual perversions, spiritual wickedness. There's spiritual fornication. There's spiritual adultery. There's natural. There's physical. I was listening to Brother George doing some teaching here, and he was speaking about what the Bible says about a natural Jew. And he's speaking about a spiritual Jew. And he said, we understand this. But he said, there's also a physical Jew. And he said, the Bible doesn't mention that one, but we know it's there, because he's learned to look at things through patterns and things. And this is where so oftentimes we find our thoughts and our mind going into things and looking at it from different dimensions. I read the Scripture so oftentimes, and I could say, well, you know, you have a mind and an understanding, and you could read the Word of God, and you could let God help you and lead you, and you might be having God help you and speak to you looking at it in a first dimension or third dimension or second, whatever one it may be. And sometimes the minister will come and he'll read and speak, and then he might unveil something maybe from another plateau or another perspective that possibly you haven't looked at. And that's so many times, brothers and sisters, we go through life and we look at things and we look at it from one perspective. And we've got one way of thinking about it and one idea about it. Very limited understanding. I could take something that is natural or carnal, you might say, and think about how all of a sudden, because I looked at it from a different degree of angle or a different perspective, that I saw something that I didn't see before. You might take a housewife and put her on a stepladder for a moment and let her look over her belongings and furniture from, instead of looking up at it, she might be looking down and go, wow, I see a need. I need to get my dust rag out. You might move a refrigerator out of the hole and you go, whoa, I see the need. But you know, you're looking at things from a different perspective sometimes. And when we go into the mind of God, the mind of Christ, the singular eye, it teaches us to see things from a different perspective and look at things from a different angle. We have to learn to do this, brothers and sisters, in our lives, each and every one of us. We have to learn to look. And again, verse 25, it says, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator. If we were going to be honest with ourselves, we really couldn't be until we looked at things from maybe a different angle. You've heard me use a terminology when I've ministered, and I don't know where I come up with this at, but I say flatlined religion. I know you could look back years ago when I've spent some time in ministering on a soul realm religion. And I probably preach more in the soul dimension, brothers and sisters, than any other dimension. Paul said, I want to speak unto you spirituals, but I find you yet carnal. So you say, well, he's trying to speak by the Spirit, and we're led by the Spirit. Now we are the sons of God. We're spiritual. So why would you minister more in that realm? There's a lot of action happening in the second heaven, and there's a lot of action happening in the third and in the first. But which one are you looking at, and which one are you watching? Which one are you observing? Where's the battle won at? Some would say, well, the battle was won in the third, because Jesus was crucified before the foundation of this world. And I could agree with you 100%. I wouldn't dispute that, not one little bit. Because we can get into the spiritual realm and mind of thought, brothers and sisters, and there's no war there, there's no travail. We are either or we're not God's elect. We are either or we're not the sons of God. So, you know, there is a lot of ways to speak, and I could speak of a finished, completed work. Speak that it's done. I was speaking like that by the Spirit to a minister, and he told me I was dangerous. He says, when you talk like that, it's like, you know, hey, there's nothing to worry about, you know. There's no press, there's no, I can't remember his terminologies. You know, but truly, brothers and sisters, there's a place of rest that you could come to that you're not in a travail in your mind and your thoughts of who you are. You know who you are. You know where you're at. You know you're sealed in. You know that nothing can be laid to your charge. You know Satan can't get to you there. You know he can't touch you. You've gone beyond death. That's a wonderful place. And you'll never know what rest is until you've found that place. You'll never know what peace is until you've really got to that place. When you see people that are in these travails in their mind, and their mind is just tormented, and they're going through turmoil and travails and all this and things, I can tell you one thing for sure, that person has never entered through that door. And you say, well, Brother Rob, wait a minute. You know, I found that Jesus was in a travail and Paul was in a travail. You know, Jesus travailed in the Garden of Gethsemane. It's such a travail that he sweat drops of blood. And you're going to say that he was never been through that door? He was the door. I will say this, that there's times, brothers and sisters, of a condescending, just as Jesus did, out of that perfect world of tranquility and peace and everything of no problems or complications, and he came into a world of complications and problems, and he dealt with it and he conquered it. But I can say that even when he came into this mind and into this world to walk among men, that he still walked with authority, with a conquering power. If you would look at the attributes of the Lord Jesus as our example, and you'll find that he had authority and power over the flesh, over the man, over the mind of man. He had an authority over it. He had to conquer it, but he had authority. I can't read of the accounts of the things where he had failed. There was no guile in his mouth, according to the scriptures and the word of God. So he didn't lose his control over that mind to the point of letting it just run rapid in him in such a way that there was guile coming forth out of his mouth and bitterness and hatred, animosity, strife, or jealousies. It wasn't in his, wasn't on his lips. He's our example. But then yet I could say that he had crossed these dimensions that we're speaking about here. I could say that he looked at it from above. And I could say that he looked at it from below. His soul went into hell. Suffered it not to see corruption there. That's what the Bible says. So I could say that he looked at it from below. And I could say that he looked at it from above. And I could say he looked at it face to face. With everything that pertains unto the flesh and everything common unto mankind. I could say that we, brothers and sisters, sometimes walk in a dimension and we look and we observe everything by what we see in our mind. I could use the term of even our ideas or ideologies, and we could have it all worked out. I could listen to a message from Brother George Pike, and you could listen to a message from Brother George. I'll just use him as an example. And we could both come away from listening to the one and the very same message, and you've got a total different concept of what he was teaching. And your concept might be right, and what I was hearing and listening to was different than your concept, and I would be right. And you say, but if they're different, how could you both be right? Because when I read the scriptures, you could read the scriptures chronologically, and you could read it historically as a man that walked among the earth and men, and you could tell me all about the life of Jesus Christ, what it meant, where he was at, and have such a precise and awesome recall of his life. And localities and locations and things, and be ever so accurate. And you could teach and hold people at awe with your historical understanding and the history of the Lord Jesus Christ. And with all that said about you, I could say that you've never tapped into the spirit world or the spirit life of what the things really meant that he did. And what truly was conquered, what was really truly done for you and I. I could say that the angle that most people look at the life of Jesus Christ and the concept that they see is they see that God came and walked among men and died. We can all say yea and amen. And that he died and shed his blood for us that we could have life. And I could say yea and amen to that. I'm in agreement. But if that's as far as we go, I'm not sure that we've got the whole measure or the whole perspective. Somewhere we got to look that he walked this life for us as an example to show us how we walk. The things that he conquered is to show us that he granted us the same spirit that we could conquer the same things. Have you had a Gethsemane experience? Back to verse 25, all this said, who worshipped and served the creature more than the creator. Many people read the Bible for the creature's sake, not for the creator's sake. Are you listening? We read the Bible with a selfish angle. Well, I read the Bible for my salvation. I read the Bible for I could see what God's done for me, that I could know that I'm saved. And I'm saying, well, praise God, and that's good. I can't contest that, and I think you should. But you really haven't truly came to see the proper angle yet. When I observed the life of Jesus Christ walking among men, he chose a crucified way. Brother Pike wrote a tract speaking about the crucified way. He said he had the power to lay down and to pick up. Do you carry that power with you today? Do you realize that when you're a son of God, you carry that same power? Do you know what it means truly to lay your life down for others? Sometimes, brothers and sisters, we get into things that we have the opportunity to lay our life down that others could see God. Because you got to lay your life down before they could see Christ. If you don't lay your life down, then what they're going to see is you. They're going to see the creature, not the creator. Now the thing is the Holy Ghost could move in my life in such a magnificent way or in your life. And we could take and do an endeavor that would be impossible for you or I to do as a man. And we could have an exploit that comes forth and we could bring the glory to the creature and not to the creator. And it's become something, air doesn't sound like quite strong enough of a word of expression. I can think you could look back and remember when I was speaking about substance. And you can have a home worth, you could put any number on it that you want. And I could have a home with any number you want, but we could say they're the same. We could talk about the footage, the sizes. We could say, hey, they're the same. Whatever, just speaking hypothetically. And one man's home could be a blessing and the other ones could be a curse. They look the same. By the eye of observation, it would look like they were begot the same way. But then one would be a curse and one would be a blessing. We could see a man's endeavors and labors in the Lord could bring a blessing to his life. And another one's labors and endeavors to the Lord could bring a curse. And that would sound foolish to you. I understand and know that. One could read the gospel and it brings life. And another one reads the same gospel in the same passage and it brings death and separation from God. There was a tree in the midst of the garden. Life and death. Good and evil. Which one is it? Do you realize that the Lord Jesus is the Prince of Life? But some will see when he speaks, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity, depart from me. Are they going to see him as the Prince of Life or the judgment of death and damnation? What angle are they looking from? And how do they perceive and how do they see? Some look at the grace of God with a distorted angle of lasciviousness. And some look at it as mercy to make changes and adaptions in their lives. They didn't take it to the occasion of the flesh. They took it to the occasion of the kindness and mercies of God to allow us to get up and to stand back up and to press on and to go and overcome the obstacles and the failures of life, the failures of the things that we may have done. Man, I thank God for that. Brothers and sisters, I could stand here and testify and praise my God for the mistakes and the failures that I've done, that he showed his mercy and his grace to me. And he allowed me to make the alterations and changes. And they haven't been imputed to me as sin because of his grace and his mercy and his kindness. I could stand here before you and say that I'm born of God and cannot sin. And one person may be over here and another person over here. One could look at me and say, oh man, he just thinks too high of himself. And he thinks he lives such a good life and this and that he can't sin. This guy's deceived and blind. And another one could look and say, I may not understand what he means or what he says. And another one could perceive and understand the mercies of God, the grace of God. How do they hear? They heard the same vibration come forth out of the mouth of the minister. They said, I understand English. And I heard what he said. I heard it myself. I heard him say it with my very own ears. And one will leave with a sense of justification in their heart that this man's an error. And he's wrong. And another one might not truly understand it. Another one could be in perfect witness and say, man, praise be the Lord Jesus Christ for what he's done. Worshipped and served the creature more than the creator. Some never call on the creator unless the creature's having problems. Some don't call on the creator until the creature has been afflicted or been sick. Some praise him when everything's good. When they feel good, when they have finance, when they got health, when they come home and their wife's smiling, when they come home, their husband's smiling. Man, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Their relationship with the Creator is numbered in the perspective of response to the Creator is into what the creature's feeling. Are you listening to me? And that's there. Is your God a God of prosperity only when your bills are paid? And when you have money in your pocket, you're shallow then. You're looking at things from the wrong angle and the wrong dimension. Is your God a healer only when you have a certificate from the physician that you have perfect health? Oh man, praise God, man. I'm prospering and my soul's prospering. I'm in health. Hallelujah. I got proof right here. There's some that look at things in such an angle that when they go to church, that they don't hear God unless the preacher's screaming and yelling and dancing and shouting and worked up a sweat. Man, God visited us tonight. You'd be surprised how many people are in that mindset. I could remember hearing the Spirit of God speak so clear through Brother Pike when we was brethren would come around. And he wasn't pressing his voice. He wasn't speaking up loud enough to make sure everybody could hear. It's like, please, man, I'd rather be cold. Turn off that heater for we could hear. Let's press in a little bit closer. Let's push in a little bit closer for we could hear. I want to hear what the Spirit of God's saying. But then yet, there would be one sitting there listening and thinking, man, praise God, we've heard from heaven. And another one would be sitting in the same room thinking, well, I wish this man would hurry up and get done saying what he's saying. I'd like to go. It's time to head to the house. And then there's others that never heard really the Creator. They heard the creature. And they glorified the creature more than they did the Creator. And made the creature God. And you say, there's some fine lines there, Brother Rob. Would it be safe to say that God himself came among men in the form of a creature? I could say, yeah. The Bible said, but we're a new creature in Christ Jesus, and all things have passed away and all things have become new. Maybe this is what that passage of Scripture is speaking about there. Maybe it's speaking about that creature. If it is speaking about that creature, then you're looking at it from another dimension and another perspective, and we should be able to do that. But you know where the glory and the praise and the honor goes? It still goes to the Creator. Where do we bring the glory and the honor to the creature? In what dimension? The Bible said to give honor to who honor's due. Is that honor due to that individual because of the creature or the deeds that are in the creature? And if the deeds are good, where did those deeds come from? The Bible says from God if there's any good thing. Where do we as man stand for the glory? The only way that there could be glory shown in the vessel or in, we could say, in the creature would be because it was given by God. So if you see glory there, it would have to be given of God. But if we get into another dimension and the glory came forth by man, then what is that glory? It's a reward in another realm, in this dimension, in what you see. There's people that seek after the glory. They seek after glory. They seek to be esteemed or to be preeminent. Brothers and sisters, you could look and see that if you are spiritual. Let me tell you, when a man is doing anything to bring glory to himself, the anointing of God won't be there. Because God knows why he's doing what he's doing. There won't be an anointing there. Listen to me. I'm telling you in all realms and all dimensions in this perspective. If you're a singer and you want to sing to project, look at me, I'm gifted, man. I've got this voice. And man, I could go from realm 8 over to Z. There's no glory to God. There's probably not a Z I know in those things, but you know, you could tell me about my ignorance in music, yes, and I'll say yay and amen, I'm very ignorant. But the point I'm making is very factual and very true. The thing is when we do something to make a presentation to bring some kind of a prestige or preeminence or honor to ourselves, there's not going to be anointing there. There's many times preachers say the facts and they say the truth and they say things exactly and they've got this down in a perspective and they can deliver it. But it's lacking something. I watched as they was making a dish the other day. And they were making a dish and man, they put this and that. I don't know, there's something not there. I'm sure you've all been there. Some of you cooks and things, I'm sure you've been there. Man, I don't know, it's okay, but it's just not, there's something lacking. Sometimes it's that little bit of salt. We could say a lot there, can't we? Sometimes we might lack the salt. So when I look at the creature, if we talk about the new creature in Christ, the proper perspective of understanding to honor the creature is Christ. We could say the old man and the new man, can't we? We have to take, when we speak of a new man and an old man, just as the same in the creature, we say the creature and the new creature. We can interchange these terminologies, brothers and sisters. If I say new man and old man, we have got to be a little more different in dealing with the new man than we do with the old man. If we cater to the old man and his wills and desires, and his wants, his thoughts, his ideas, we're going to create some severe complications in life. But if we would learn to do the new man, the mind of God and the Spirit of God, then there'll be things done totally different. So we're talking about looking at things from a different perspective, we may say. It seems like that's what we find ourselves going down that direction. So you say, I hear you tonight, Brother Rob, and you know, I understand we can't bring glory to the man and we're not going to do this and that and we could be in error. The church I was going to, boy, they're so afraid that there's going to be man. This guy said, I almost walked out of a church because when they called me up, they started clapping. He said, man, I wanted to walk out the door. Some would say, well, maybe Brother Rob, the man's right. Well, he is right. Well, then why do we clap? Because we're right too. Well, that doesn't make sense to me, Brother Rob. How can this man be offended and want to walk out of a church because when they called him up, everybody stood up and clapped and it grieved him so bad in his spirit he wanted to walk out the door. But then yet, in our church, many times when you call up a guest speaker, you say, let's give the Lord a hand or give him a hand. What if I didn't say, let's give the Lord, let's give him a hand? Is that wrong? Well, it's wrong, brothers and sisters, for us to do that if it offends some. And it is offensive to some. So we need to use wisdom. It's easy, brothers and sisters, to make everybody else that comes to you with grievances or whatever, it's easy to make them wrong. So oftentimes we're guilty of this. Well, this man's got this problem and this problem and this problem. So because he points at me and tells me what my problem is, I'm not going to receive because this man's no good. Boy, you're wrong. You're really wrong. Because it might be God speaking through that man. Well, can God speak through an impure vessel? Rain comes on the just and the unjust. What is unjust? It's something that's not justified. He said he'll pour out his spirit upon some flesh. Not what it said, did it, Brother Ann? Oh. I had troubles with that, brothers and sisters. I'm telling you, before I went to Bethlehem, I went to preacher after preacher. I'd be invited to a church to preach, but man, when I got fellowship with the preachers, man, I'd say, man, let's talk about some things. Let's get into work. And man, I asked preacher after preacher after preacher about some of those things, and I didn't understand it. Man, I got all kinds of answers. There's some preachers that feel they got to have an answer for everything. And they'll give you an answer, but you know, there's something here, praise God, in our hearts that's saying, that didn't fit, didn't work. You've heard me say this before. I'd say like, well, if you ask a question, somebody gives you an answer, how are you going to know if it's right or wrong if you're the one that's asking the question? So you should accept the answer. And there's many people who go through life that way. They think, I got an answer, it's got to be right. But again, praise God for God's Spirit. There was so many times, even though I was asking the question, I'd get an answer and there would be something in my spirit saying, no, that's not it. It was such an awesome blessing to meet Brother George because I asked him a lot of questions and he had the answers. Sometimes the answer came and my spirit was rejoicing in my heart thinking, man, praise God. But up here, I couldn't have told you what he said. Up here in my mind, if somebody said, man, I just got the answer from this guy, now I could go tell these other people, I couldn't have done it. Because the Spirit of God was processing and doing things in my life. You've made the mistake of what I'm saying right now, and so have I. Because it was some things I perceived and understood in part. And I would take it to people, and I would give them a part, and it would turn them away from the rest of it. Because I didn't have the rest of the story, we might say. And I was guilty. I can remember as people come along, I said, you're going to hear things that are going to be exciting to you. And I said, hold your peace. I've told people that when they've come here. And I said, you know, wait, what did Jesus do? He'd pray, they'd be healed, and things. He'd go tell an old man. Wasn't time. There's sometimes, brothers and sisters, you've got to hold back in the perspective and wait for the gift of teaching to teach. And you got to wait. Sometimes we're zealous and we can't wait. Sometimes we take tidbits of knowledge and we confuse and cause problems and people never get over it. I've had brethren here in this church over the years. You know, Brother Rob, you need to come over here and meet this one and talk to him, this and that. And they've got things so goofed up that, man, I got no business going over there anyway. I've seen that numerous times, brothers and sisters. I could talk about me now if you'd like, and I could say that I've been there on the other hand. I think of when I didn't fully understand certain things and I went to people with those things, that at the end of the matter, they were in worse condition and shape. And then when I got the understanding of it, that I really felt that I could have brought them to it, I'd already messed it up from previous years, previous conversations. Maybe you've never had to deal with that. I have. I'm sorry to stand before you and say that. But I say it in a positive perspective in that we could learn thereby and grow thereby in that. You could raise up in a household with a fine pilot, and a man with very much skill and ability, and he could be offering teaching to you all the time when you're flying, talking about adverse conditions when everything's in good condition and fine. But there's a reason for that. He's trying to put a mind in you to deal with the adversities. Sometimes we go along in Christianity and we're going along, man, God's good, everything's fine, glory be to God, hallelujah, everything's fine, my wife's for everything's good. But then when some adversity comes and some complication or affliction comes, you've never exercised the faith to overcome that complication. Never exercised it. And then all of a sudden, there's no strength there. None whatsoever. Are you afraid of death? Are you afraid to die? If Paul said, speaking of it in our terminology's sake, as a man, it's gain. If it's not gain in your mind and in your thoughts and in your heart, then what is it? If I said I could do something for you to help gain your financial status in your bank account, you'd say, man, praise God, let's do it. If I could say that I want to share something from the scriptures with you and you're going to gain understanding and gain a knowledge, and you say, man, glory be to God. And I say, let's die. And I know there's different avenues to look at that in. And I will tell you this, when Paul was speaking about it, he spoke across dimensional lines and barriers. But most definitely, he was speaking as a physical perspective of a man. For him to lay that body down and you could number it and call it death, he said, man, it was gain for him. He was a man that came to a revelation and a state of eternity and knew who he was in Christ, and he wasn't afraid. But he knew that it would be lost for others if he made that crossing, we might say. And I've tried to be careful in how I speak in that perspective, because we know we can't die. But even Jesus said, okay, so be it to your understanding. Death is what I'm talking about. No, Lazarus, to you understand your mind, your thoughts, the way you perceive, understand. Yes, he's dead. But the Lord Jesus knew what he was talking about when he said sleep. He didn't make a mistake and have to go back and correct himself. So there again, when I speak, you know, I try to speak to something to your understanding, but then yet I don't want to speak in such a way to speak error when I know that we've passed from death unto life. And when you really know that you've passed from death unto life, that's why you have no fear of death, because it's already conquered and it's already taken care of and it's already done away with. If Brother Rob has fears in his life, let me tell you what they would be. And I know perfect love casteth out fear, so there again, I try to speak very careful. Do you fear Brother Rob standing before the Lord and he says, thou work of iniquity, depart from me? If I feared that, brothers and sisters, then I could tell you that I do not understand perfect love. If I'm walking in willful sin and walking according to the gospel, to the ways of the flesh, and committing my life to the flesh and the members of this flesh, and I could stand before you and say, oh, I got perfect peace and love, and man, I know God, this and that. You see, then I would be guilty of what we read here. I've been turned over to a reprobate mind, and I'm believing a lie, and I'm damned. So I do understand the scriptures in that perspective of thought. But I understand about a peace that surpasses all understanding and a place that is obtainable in this life, that we can find a place in fellowship in Christ. There's some scriptures that I could turn to and go to right now that I would have a reservation of reading, because I've seen the passage of scriptures in the light that it's written in, into a confidence in the Spirit of God of what he's really done. To the pure, all things are pure. The things or the allowance that you've made, paraphrasing the scriptures, not to let them condemn. There's no condemnation in Christ. Again, to them who now walk after the flesh. But sometimes we don't go line upon line. But brothers and sisters, people could chide about things in the scriptures, and they're looking at them from different perspectives. I told a man once, I said, listen, you're going to hear me say things, and before you disagree with me, I want you to be able to come to me and tell me what dimension I'm speaking about it in. Because I could speak to you as unto spirituals, and I could go into some things that are so beautiful and so precise and so completed and so finished. And if that's all I taught and all I taught and all I taught and all I taught, then I would have error in my life. I said the other day, Joel Osteen preaches the truth. He just don't preach all of it. The things he's saying, he could defend by the word of God in the Bible. And it's the truth. But sometimes, brothers and sisters, we got to go, like Paul Harvey said, we got to get the rest of the story. And sometimes we fail to do that. I used an example to a gentleman. I said, if every day that you come home, and I have to apply this in my life as a pastor, but if every day you come home and your child was disobedient, every single day you take your belt off when you get home and you take him in his room and paddle his tail, and you do that day one, day two, day three, day four, day five, day six, and that's what you're doing. And you say, well, this is what the child done, Brother Rob. And I said, you ain't amen. I'm in agreement with you. You've done exactly what you need to do. That's your obligation, Dad. That's what you have to do. And if the kid's got a spirit of disobedience or rebellion or whatever you want to say, and you've got to do this every single day, and you tell me this is the thing, you're going to hear yea and amen, yea and amen. But then you might also hear, Dad, have you embraced, have you encouraged, have you loved? Sometimes children are doing things in a way of disobedience because they want to get that parent's attention. Why are they wanting to get the attention? Because there might be a lacking of the love there. Now, we could take that beyond some dimensional barriers too, and we could take it out of dealing with children and talking about children of God. You say, well, I don't know about that. Well, let's talk about God then that walked among men. And he learned obedience by what? Some of the things that he suffered. So the thing is, brothers and sisters, if we're the children of God, and it may not be imputed to us as sin, but we do make mistakes, and we do make failures. And people that don't understand that mindset, they could look at what you do, and they could say, man, that's sin, brother. I don't care what you say. You got this doctrine, say that you can't sin, but what you done there? And I could say, blessed is the man who God doesn't impute it as sin. Does it give me a license to continue on in willful disobediences? No. I think we've made this very clear over the years, but I think with my attempts to make those things clear that there's people that sit under the sound of my voice that don't understand what I'm saying. And there's perfect fruit of it in their actions and their lifestyle and the things that they do. And I could go back even a little further and talk about when I sat under Brother George, and I could talk about brethren that was in his work, that fellowshipped and were in the same men's meeting, heard the same messages, read the same books, or was involved and didn't see. Nor understand. I understand darkness. I understand the mind of darkness. I understand the deception. I understand the spirit of deception and the father of all lies. Brother George wrote some things down, and they put them down in different books and collections that are on the internet page and stuff. They called it 20th Century Proverbs. And over the years, he put a lot of little proverbs or thoughts down about different things. My wife was reading out loud a book to me today. It had some beautiful proverbs in it. I wished I could quote one that she said about a believer of doctrine. And if you don't live the doctrine, even though you speak about the doctrine, and you say that you're a believer of the doctrine, and you could speak about it very clearly, but this proverb or whatever you want to say says that if you don't live it, then you are the unbeliever. I'd like to write that down, because I had to say it a couple times to get the extent of what this writer was saying. But I thought it was beautifully put. Sometimes little things could ring out or make profound statements on something for thought. But again, you could explain to me what a great man of God said. You could read the Bible and tell me what the Bible says. The Bible says that a wise man could learn from a fool, but a fool cannot learn from a wise man. That makes perfect sense, I'm telling you. A man could be a fool, and he could bring forth the word of God to you, and you could be an error about the word. And you will grow in the grace and knowledge of God, and you will prosper from it. But then yet you could take the word, and you could take the mind of Christ and the understanding to a full, and it yield forth nothing. You could maybe apply what I'm saying here to wherever you want to, but the best place to apply it is right here. And you say, but Brother Rob, the Bible says, you know, that if we call a brother a fool, that, you know, we could be in danger of hellfire. And I say, yea and amen. But let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. Sometimes we got to ring the bell between these men, between the creature and the creator. We got to ring the veil between the Lord and the Christ. And when we start rending the veil, brothers and sisters, let me account all of my learning, all of my understanding as a man in the fleshly perspective is full. And it's foolishness. But then yet, there's a something else that Brother Paul came to understand and he saw that was revealed to him, and his eyes were opened up to it, that he never would have understood the foolishness of the mind of the creature until he come to the mind of the Creator. Amen. I hope that tonight that something could be challenged in your heart to consider, to examine, to look, to perceive, to understand, to maybe take you into a different way of thinking. We could take this word, we could read it, try to understand it, comprehend it. But if it's not applied, if you remember on some of the writings and some of the things that said Christian Temple Church, the ministry of the present day application. I guess I said that numerous times preaching and it ended up that way and I'm pleased with it. We do know that Brother Pike used the present day truth, and I think that's awesome and that's wonderful, and I would never speak in any way against, because a present day truth will bring an application. But I can say this, that there are people with present day truths, or they could bring a truth about something even in your life or something like that, but there's never been an application in their own life. The application has to do with the revelation of Jesus Christ. You see, when you apply the word, the invisible things of God, you apply that to your life, that means that there's been an application made in your life. You could get in a man's face and say, you don't need to be drinking, you're drunk. You don't need to be drinking. And then drink yourself. There's no application in your life to exercise the authority over alcoholism. But you could tell me how wrong I am for my alcohol problem. You could tell me how wrong, but then yet you have an alcohol problem. There's no application in your own life. The Bible said, you know, speaking of you, the judge, it said that you're guilty of the very things. That's complicated sometimes. You say, well, Brother Rob, man, you're bringing judgment all the time. And you say, we that are spiritual judge all things. And are you telling us we're guilty? Yes, I am. I've been guilty of the very things, but there was one that took my guilt away. His name was Jesus. And he endued me with the power and the strength that he's pulled me out of it. And I stand in a place to bring judgment that others could recognize what he's done for them. And we don't have a license to continue on in willful sin. We don't have some kind of a way that we just go on and keep on going. We have authority. When you're saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, you've been endued with power. And I'm telling you, you've got the power over all things. You got the power over torment of the mind. You got the power over alcoholism. You got the power over tobacco. You got the power over alcohol. You got the power over drugs. You got the power over lust and perversion and filth. You got the power over your tongue. We have to exercise that, and we got to apply that. Some people travail with different thoughts and different spirits and different things. Sometimes I tell some of you that you shouldn't fellowship certain people because you don't have the strength to fellowship those people. The Bible said when a man's overtaken in a fault, ye that are spiritual that go to that man. Because if you're not spiritual and you go to him, all of a sudden that same spirit, brothers and sisters, will be in your mind and your thoughts, and all of a sudden you're travailing and warring with the same things that that man was, and then you find yourself in a fall. Man, I could unveil that big time. Now I've watched it over the years, and I've seen it, and I've witnessed it. We need to be in prayer, and we need to be concerned, and we need to love, and we need to help. When you let your thought life just run wild and you start going on it, I could start unveiling, sharing things with you about thoughts. I could close the service right now and ask you to stand up and sit back down, and I could say, I want to talk about thoughts. See, Brother Rob, I've heard you preach about thoughts a whole lot. Yes, I have. I've preached about thoughts a whole lot. But you know, each day that I go through this life and dealing with thoughts of man and dealing with spirits and the complexities that men deal with thoughts, and the depths of Satan that some have clutching into their soul, I could probably, as I say, we could start expounding on some thoughts maybe from another angle and another perspective tonight. And I say, be in prayer, brothers and sisters. We're a little church. We don't have big, large numbers by no means. But I could speak about the perplexities and the complications and the things that's happening within the realms of this little church with a small number of people. And it is awesome. I could testify about the exploits that this little number of people have done and accomplished for the Lord. And it's awesome. And I could testify the goodness of God and the awesomeness of God and the power of God and the things that you've done that is known around the world. And I could say, man, praise God. Amen. But brothers and sisters, when we look at that, there's a reverse of it also. And because of these things, that there are powers and principalities and demons that have come against the households of Christian Temple Church and come to your mind and visit you. They wouldn't even bother you, except that you've numbered with this and want to be partakers with it, and they're going to come and they're going to start trying to destroy your mind. Don't yield to it. Again, if I was going to start speaking about thoughts, I could see victories and battles won and lost in the mind and in thought. There's people that are in serious, I can't express the word serious. It don't fit what I'm trying to say, honest to God. Lack of words, I'm a lack of expression when I use a term of serious. But there are things in our midst that are so, so serious. I'm burdened in my heart for souls. I've stepped beyond the realms of anger and animosity and strife and railing in my life, of dealing with perplexities in people's life and their soul. Even when you're indicted and even when you're crucified and smitten, and you still have love and compassion and reaching out. That's what I want in my life. I want to be able to do good to them that despitefully use me. I do get alarmed, brothers and sisters, as a pastor. If I'm being smitten, that's okay. That's my rightful place that I've taken in the gospel of suffering for other souls. But when I see that the smiting causes sheep to scatter, that's when I get alarmed, because I'm concerned about the sheep. I'm not alarmed for my sake. I'm willing to be crucified all the day long. I'm willing to be ridiculed, lied against, and things, and that's okay. But when it causes others to fall and to stumble and to stagger, and it seems that the ones that really think that they've achieved to an understanding and a rightful place, that they don't guard over their fellowship, and they're the ones that sometimes are in the fall because they're not guarded over their fellowship. They're not guarded over what they hear and things, and sometimes they're overtaken in a fall. Sometimes I wonder why I don't express things clearly, but the Lord doesn't allow me to. Sometimes I wonder why He has me express things so clear and unveiled. But I hope and pray, and you pray for me, that I could yield to the Spirit of God and express things according to the Spirit of God. Amen. I need your prayers and covenant. Let's sing a song, Brother Ed, as we close the service.
He is my everything.
Let Him be your everything. Thank you, Jesus. Many prayer requests have been spoken forth here this evening. Please take them with you. In whatever endeavors that you're about, or activities of your day, or your evening, whatever it may be, please allow the Lord burden your heart for the lost, for the heathen, for the afflicted, and the sick. Amen. As Brother Ed Luffman comes to dismiss us tonight, let's just close our eyes and lift our hands to the Lord and praise Him. He's our God, our King, and our Lord, and He's worthy of all praise and admiration. Lift Him up and magnify Him. Lift Him up in your day and in your life, and let the people see Christ in you, the hope of glory. Take your role as a Christian serious, and know that people need to see Jesus, and that they need to see Him in you, and that you are their salvation, and that they need to see Christ in you, that they could magnify and glorify the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. Seek Him, praise Him, love Him, worship Him. He's the one and only and true God. And He loves you and has given you everything. that pertaineth unto life. Amen. Pray for me as I pray for you. I love you, and the Lord bless you.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org, or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina 27261. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.